So this morning I'm going to talk about life balance. And I actually think getting balance in life is probably a myth. I think that you spend your life trying to get things in balance, and I think you might achieve it for a day or two during the year, and then the rest of the time you spend juggling. You know, you're juggling to just, you know, because something comes up and it affects your life, and you're juggling, and you know, at times you've got balls in the air that you're juggling, and then suddenly, you know, someone adds another one, or you add another one, and then they all come tumbling down. And I feel in life, you've got to continually review. You've got to take a moment and have a look and review your life. Because what's happening in your life, although some things are uncontrollable, most of it is controllable. Most of it is that you've allowed it to come into your life, whatever it is. And look, with pressure stacking up on people, there's a lot more pressure around. I think we've got to be very careful to make sure we control our lives in a good way. And look, we all have stages. There's stages in life, right? I wrote down here, there's a school stage. There'll be people in here, and you're in the stage where you're at school. you may not think it, but that's a great stage. Enjoy it while you can. Then there's the stage where you maybe go get a job or you go do some training. That's a different stage of life. You might get to be working. You might be single. Single working stage. I can remember that. I got all my money to myself. It was a great stage in my life. It was a good stage. And then there was a dating stage. And I'm glad that I'm not doing that anymore. And then there's getting married, and there's married with no children. Oh, that was a great stage. And then there was married with one kid, married with two kids, married with three kids, married with four kids. Oh my goodness, what are we doing? Married with children all at school, married with children that are teenagers, then married with four children and one gone. I had to say it, but that was a good day too. And then two gone, and then three gone, and we've only got one at home now. And okay, we're enjoying that season. But every season has different juggles in your life. You know, God has made seasons. We're in our summer season, believe it or not. We're in our summer season. And a season goes for 3 months. Do you know in your life you have seasons? There may be seasons where you have to work overtime. There may be seasons where you have to look after somebody in your family, or there are seasons that come. But one of the things I often say is that seasons in the natural last for 3 months. If something in your life has gone longer than 3 months, I think it's changed from being a season to being something as part of your lifestyle. And a lot of times we don't stop and assess and go, do I want this in my lifestyle? And we've got the power to change it or to rework things. So the reason I want to talk about balance in life is that I feel that what happens when we get busy is that the thing that gets pushed out the most is our time with God and our relationship with God. When we get busy, that's when we seem to go, well, I don't have time for God, I don't have time for what God's called for me, and it gets pushed out. And I believe right now we're coming into a season of rebuilding and a season of vision. I don't know whether you've over the holidays got a fresh vision for you, got a fresh vision for life, got a fresh vision for your family. And but to make it happen, you've got to start planning your life. And a lot of us just let life happen to us. We just let things happen to us instead of taking control. So here's a couple of questions I've got for you this morning. Number one, do you think your life balance is an issue today? If so, why? How do you balance your life? Are you doing something that balances your life? Do you have some checks in place to stay in balance? Do you have somebody that asks you some questions? Man, you seem to be, you know, doing a lot of this or a lot of that. Do you think your relationship with God is affected by life balance? A few years ago, actually it's quite a long years ago, we used to do a thing called, and I think we're going to do it at some stage again, natural church development. And it was a survey that the church would do that would allow you to look at eight areas of the church and just sort of see which is the lowest. And it used a concept called the minimum factor barrel. And today we have that picture on our wall. So just look at this barrel. So this barrel basically has a whole lot of water in it. And it's got a whole lot of what they've called, I think they've called them staves, but I call them slats. And all the slats are a different height. See the different heights of the slats? The capacity of that barrel is determined by the lowest slat. So the highest slat, if you make the highest slat even higher, you're still not going to have more capacity, are you? Because the water will just roll over. The one that is affecting the most, the capacity of this barrel, is the lowest one. And so what they would do is they'd look through your church and you'd go through these eight areas and you'd find out which is the lowest area. Was it evangelism? Was it Sunday services? Was it connect groups? And if you just worked on the lowest one, then you would basically help in the church life for things to enlarge in their capacity. So I've taken this and I've put it into eight areas of life because I think all our life areas affect each other. And so the capacity of our capacity to do what God's called us to do will be affected by the lowest one in our lives. If say, I'm working too many hours, I can guarantee you that that's affecting my marriage and my family life. If I lose my health, I guarantee that that will affect whether I can go to work or not. And so our challenge is to keep our life in balance. And so this morning, I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen out or a device. I want everybody to write some stuff down. I want you to write 1 to 8 down the side. Come on, you didn't think you're going to get to church and just sit there and do it, did you? If you haven't got a piece of paper, ask someone to rip one out of their book, find somewhere. Run to the back of the information desk. I'm sure they'll have something there. If you've got a pen, you need a pen. I'm going to carry on drinking my beautiful coffee. Thank you. It's awesome. Okay, so you got 1 to 8 down the side. This will just keep you engaged. 1 to 8. If you really haven't got a pen, you can try and do it in your mind. Okay. We're calling it. Okay. So what I want you to do is I talk about each area. So I'm going to talk about 8 different areas of life. I want you to rate them in your life out of 10. So 10 out of 10 would mean it's absolutely perfect. It's great. Everything is fantastic. 1 means it's a disaster zone. It's just not happening. So it doesn't really matter. What we're going to do is just determine whatever the lowest is. And it changes around because I can do this once a month and every month and it's different in my life. So this is the one I want you to look at. Number 1 is work or school. If you're at school or you're studying, what you doing? Okay. So look, just some verses. Proverbs 12:11 says this: hard work means prosperity. Only fools idle away their time. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 says this, and this is quite a challenge, I think, in our day and age. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all unbelievers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition you receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave this command. This is a command they gave in the early church. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Isn't that fascinating? It's not quite our society today, is it? Maybe it would help. I don't know. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Okay. So how's your work balance? Is your work consuming all your time? Is it the main thing you do? Are you doing lots and lots of overtime? Are you enjoying your work? I'm blown away. They reckon 80% of people do not enjoy the work they're doing. And I go, well, if you don't like it, change. One of the questions to ask is, if they didn't pay me, would I still do my work? That's a great question, isn't it? I would. I love it. Here's some questions just to help you sort of work out where you are. Do you enjoy your work? Do you try leaving on time? Do you stay too long? Do you do a lot of overtime? Does your work situation stress you out? Do you get on well with everyone you work with? Do you wake up in the morning looking forward to going to work, or do you turn over and hide under the pillow saying, I wish I didn't have to go to work? Okay, there we go. So what is that out of 10 for you? You got a number? Okay, so the issue is number one is identifying the problem. The second is, once you work it out, what are you going to do about it? And that's what you've got to work out. It's all fine going, oh my goodness, to get to this and go, man, work's just too much in my life. So what are you going to do about it? You'll have to do something about it. Okay, second area, family. Okay, now in family, I'm going to do an A and a B. Okay, so if this applies for you, if you have a spouse or a partner, I want you just to go, A's about your marriage, and then B's around the rest of your family, all your family, your in-laws, your outlaws, everybody that's involved in your family. If you're not married, then you just do the family side to work out. You know, 1 Timothy 3:4 and says this, and this was to elders and deacons. He must manage his own family well, having children to respect and obey him. If a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? And Psalm 68:6 says, God puts the lonely into families. So are you giving your family the time it needs? Your immediate family, is it a fair amount of time? Now, look, what's the right amount of time will differ from people to people. You know, what one family thinks is right will be different for everybody else. You've got to get your balance of what's the right amount of time. It's important that you look after your family. It's important that you look after your marriage. Those in a marriage, when the last time you go on a date, are you sowing into it? Are you doing things to help your marriage get better? You know, I've often thought, you know, it's pointless for me to do all sorts of ministry and then lose my marriage. It just is, everything affects everything. So I've got to get my right balance in what I'm doing. Here's a couple of questions for your marriage. How healthy do you consider your marriage to be? Do you spend regular time together? Do you make time to talk through issues you're both facing? Have you been away together lately without children? Well, that's a good thing to do. Do your children feel like you have invested the time into them? You know, one of the things that helped me with parenting is I can remember reading that they say that your children change every 6 months. You are looking after a different child every 6 months, and so you're good. And hopefully they're changing for the positive. He just said, look, you know, just because you had a real good connection 6 months ago or a year ago doesn't necessarily mean you got one now. You've got to keep working and reconnecting and doing stuff. So, you know, there is a stage where some people, and I've probably seen this a lot in Christian circles, is that their whole life rotates around their family. Their family becomes more important than anything else. And then we've got the families where the kids are ruling the roost. We've all seen that. You know, how's your family going? Have you got a good balance? So do you have regular time as a whole family? How often do you get to put your children to bed? Do you do regular meals together? Do you know what's happening in your children's lives at the moment? That's a real challenge of teenagers. We often sit around the table talking about some of my kids when they're at school, and I find out all sorts of things that I did not know what was going on. And that's just the way it is, isn't it? Just little things like some of their naughty behavior that they get from their mother, you know, just seems to come out all the time. Oh, I just hope she doesn't listen to this. Have you got major conflicts in your marriage? Okay, so have a look. Have you got major conflicts in your family? Just assess it out of 10. 10, mate, we got the perfect little family. 1, ooh, I think there's some things we could work on. Number 3, moving along real quickly, your finances. Whether you like it or not, finances affect your life. Financial stress is very common and is one of the main factors that causes divorce. So financial pressure has side effects. If you're under financial pressure, then that might be why you're having to work harder. If you're under the pressure of finances, that's going to affect your health. If you're under financial pressure, that's going to affect your marriage and your relationships and what you can do. So it has an effect on it. So let's just see. Let me just read Luke 8:14 says, a thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow to maturity. Cares about money, they're the thorns that choke up our life. So not knowing how your finances are will cause stress on you. So how's your finances? What's your financial position like? If you think there is something that where you go, that's where I've got pressure. The CAP course, we used to do the CAP course. I'm not sure whether we've got a plan for this year, but Eleanor and I did the CAP course, and I just loved it. And one of the big things it said to do if you're having financial problems or wanting to get tight on your budget is that you take out what you need for the week in cash. So you get the cash out. This is how much pocket money, this is how much shopping, this is how much for food, and you get it out in cash. And what happens with cash is it's got this weird effect that when you give it away, you feel the pain of it. Not like the card. You see the card, we just click, click, and we don't realize. A lot of people don't realize how much they're spending on things. And if you've got to stay within that cash, then you're thinking, do I really need to spend this $10? I might need it in a couple of days' time. And so it's a great way to just control your finances. So Eleanor and I have so much pocket money each week, so she doesn't do too much shopping. It's in the budget. She can go shopping, but it's there. It just control. Cash is a good way to go. But if you go, hey, I've got trouble in my finances, go talk to someone. Go sit down and say, I need some help here. Okay, here's the questions to ask. Do I have margins for unexpected expenses or emergencies? Are your finances under pressure? If you sold all your assets, would you be debt-free? Are you in control of your credit cards? Do you have some savings, budgets, wise decisions? Out of 10... how's your finances? And if you're a husband and wife, you can check your numbers with each other when you get home. Don't do it now. Okay, number 4, health. Physical health plays a large part in our lives. most of us will know if you have one thing in your life that affects you physically, then it affects everything else in your life. I remember doing my shoulder, and I just thought, man, what a hassle only having one arm. It's just a pain. You know, it affects you. So your health has effects on you. And keeping and looking after your health is important. Proverbs 3:8 says this, don't be impressed, with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn back from evil. Then you will gain renewed health and vitality. And this was an interesting one. Psalm 38:3 says, because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. So there is a spiritual effect of our health. But we've got to look after our health. We've got to sleep well. Are you sleeping well? Do you put your head in, down on the pillow and go straight to sleep? Or are you tossing and turning? Are you exercising? You want to increase your mobility and your flexibility. So are you healthy? Do you have a lot of injuries? Just little things like that. How good is your health? Out of 10. Now, there are some things that we can have that are beyond our control, and we've just got to learn to monitor those and work on those. But we do the best that we can with what we've given. And we wait until we get to heaven where we get that new body that's looking pretty sharp, I'm sure. Okay. Number five, ministry or volunteer service. Ministry or volunteer service. I think everybody should be doing some sort of ministry or volunteer service. Colossians 4:17 says, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord has given you. And I believe everybody should be doing something that they don't get a direct return from. Everybody should be volunteering. Everybody should be doing something. And, you know, look, in church, I go, I believe the church runs way better if everybody's doing a bit. And how does that look? I think everybody needs to do something on a Sunday. Hoping it's not every Sunday. The ideal is that hey, it's probably one in three. And if everybody does stuff, you know, the whole 80-20 rule, at times we have 80% of the work done by 20% of the people. Well, I don't think that's right. In our house, everybody does chores. Eleanor makes sure we all do chores. Everybody has to do the dishes. Even though I go, my ministry is not dishwashing. I have to do the dishes at times. The kids have to hang out the washing. The kids have to do a job every day. Why? Because we all have to contribute to the home. I believe it's the same in church. All of us should be doing something. It's part of it. So I go, I think you need to be doing something on a Sunday, once whatever the roster is. Hopefully it's, you know, one in three or one in four. That's ideal. And then something during the week. We're all called to minister. Now, that may be church-related. It may not. But we need to be doing something where we're giving away of ourselves. That's what God's called us. In a sense, we want to be doing what God's called us to do, don't we? So how are you going with your ministry? Do you feel like you're doing something that makes a difference? Do you feel like you're inputting into people? Are you doing some sort of ministry with your time? All good there? Okay, number six, relationship with God. How is your relationship with God? 1 John 4:13 to 16 says, this is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in Him. And He in us, He's given us life from His life, from His very own Spirit. We've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent His Son as the Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We embrace it heart and soul. This love comes from God. How is your relationship with God? Are you flowing with Him? Are you listening to Him, hearing from Him? When's the last time God gave you a word, spoke to you through the word? When's the last time He challenged you? When's the last time that maybe you gave a word to someone else? When is the last time you prayed for someone, laid hands on someone, said, hey, look, let me just pray for that? Is that a common part of what you do when people are facing stuff? Hey, can I pray with you? How are you going with your relationship with God? Is it growing? Are you investing in it? Are you doing some sort of Bible study? If not, you could do Romans, the community Bible study. You could do school, the anointing on C3 College. That's going to be good. So here's my questions. Are you getting regular time with God on a one-on-one basis? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? Are you regularly hearing from God? Have you grown spiritually in the last month? Or have you been on holiday? Well, that's okay. It's good to be on holiday sometimes. Okay, so there we go. Out of 10. Okay, number seven. Two to go. We're doing all right. Not feeling too, okay? Proverbs, friendships. Have you got good friendships? Proverbs 17:17, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born for help in a time of need. We are not made to do life alone. We need to ensure that we have good friends around us. Life is not just about doing tasks. It's about journeying with other people, having fun while you do it. Many people, and this is a little bit of a generalization, I find a lot of men don't have friends. Do you have friends? Has you got someone you could just ring up and we're going to go hang out? We're going to go for a walk on the beach. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go to the stock cars. We're going to go. Have you got some friends in your life? People that you talk to? People that you sit down and chat with? Do you have at least three good friends who you could hang out or chat with regularly? Have you done something with a friend in the last month? Have you gained a new friend in the last 4 months? I think friends always keep changing, so keep refreshing them then. Have you got some friends? Too many of us live isolated lives. Okay, last one. Recreation. What are you doing for recreation? Recreation is recreation of self. It's recreation. 3 John 2 says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well or as your soul prospers. You've got to be good for yourself. So what are you doing to look after you? What have you got? Have you got some sort of hobby? Have you played golf? You go do something that just it refills your tank, gets you going. Shopping might be it. Hopefully, you've got the finances ready so you can do the shopping, but that could be something. Eleanor loves op shopping. That sort of has a combination of making it cheap, but she goes shopping all the time. She's always going to the op shops. But that is therapeutic. It does her soul good. What do you do? Fishing. You don't, and you've been thinking you want to do fishing? Have a talk to Carl, I'm sure. He can teach you how to do fishing. What do you do for you? Golf. Something. You've got to have something where you just go, I just go get restored. Maybe it's walking on the beach. Maybe it's something you do together as a spouse, a couple. I think that can be good. But what do you do that just restores you and keeps you going? You need something that recreates you and that you enjoy and refreshes you. And if you haven't done it in the last month, you know, because if you start to close down, it'll again affect all your areas. If you're getting to the stage where you're not doing anything that recreates you, you become grumpy and no one wants to live with you. What are you doing? Okay, so how is it? Now, have a look at your listed numbers and what are your two lowest? Have a look at them and pick one out of the two and go, right, this month. Okay, the month of February, because we've just about finished January. The month of February, I'm going to do something to work on this area. We can't work on all the things in our lives, but I'm going to do something to work on this so that I can just get a better balance in my life so that I can do what God's called me to do. Is that good? You got that? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each person here. And Lord, I pray that you've spoken to them. And Lord, even if maybe they take it away and they just ask you, and Lord, that Father, we would live lives that glorify you, lives that have good balance and allow us to do all that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray for these areas where maybe they're affecting our ability to serve you. God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray if it's in the work situation, and someone's not enjoying their job or it's just taking too much out of them, the Lord, you would provide them with a new job, the right job for them, Father. Lord, or you'll change the situation of the job. Lord, that something would happen in their workspace. Father, I pray for those that maybe are struggling in their family or there's family things or relationship problems. Lord, I pray you just help them to restore them and to fix them. Father, I pray for those who need finances. Lord, that you would help them just to be able to be creative, to do something with their finances, Lord. Maybe even just help them with a new job to enable their finances. Lord, those that maybe don't even know what you've called them to do, Lord, I pray that they'd have a revelation of your call on their lives and enable them to be able to do something to make a difference for you. Lord, I pray we'd all be able to make a difference for you in your kingdom, Lord. We want to, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are health, Father. Lord, whatever those health things are in their lives, Lord, I pray you'd help them. Lord, I pray for the miraculous. Lord, I pray that you'd give doctors answers, that you'd help us to know the right things to put right in our lives, Father, so that, Lord, we have great health, Lord, to do all that you've called us to do. And again, Father, Lord, I pray for those who don't have friends. Lord, I pray they'd be able to build great friends into their lives. Lord, that you'd bring the right people. Lord, they'd find them. They'd go out and spend the time. They'd invest into people to find the right friends in their lives. Lord, whatever it is that people need, Father, I pray that you would bless them. And God, help us this year to be able to make a difference for you. It all comes back to being able to be in a great relationship with you and make a difference. And Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. And Lord, that you would enable them to get to know you. Lord, that maybe they'll even speak to someone else about how to have a relationship with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.